in this week's Complaint Corner, What If, Smash Bros, and some other shit. This is Critically Complained. Hi, I'm Adam, and this is Steve, and first, we're going to sort of review What If. We don't want to do, like, a full review, I don't think, but we can talk about it. I don't know about you, Steve, but I maintain that the best episode of What If was the Doctor Strange episode. I thought that that was far and away the one that was the most compelling. It's the one that stuck with me the most. So, and in the effort of making you be somewhat positive, I'm going to ask you, what was your favorite What If episode?
Doctor Strange one was pretty good. I remember all right. That one.
That's good.
I guess, you know, gun to my head, if I had to pick one, it probably would be that one, yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking back all the other ones, it's like, oh, that was kind of neat, or it's like, oh, that was stupid. But I guess Doctor Strange was good enough.
All right, I'll take it. I didn't, like, absolutely adore What If as a show, but I thought it was fun and cute. I did enjoy the final episode. It was fun to see the Guardians of the Multiverse. Did you hate the Guardians of the Multiverse, or were you like, ah, why the fuck not? I don't even care at this point.
Well, are you asking, like, if I care about, like, the characters that they picked or something?
Well, no, I guess, were you invested at all in the Guardians of the Multiverse episode at the end there?
Oh, well, so this show frustrates me anyway, because the whole point of this thing was so that none of these things were supposed to have any impact on anything. Just little, you know, fucking vacuums. But they all did matter, because fucking evil Ultron with his Infinity Stones that somehow worked in other universes, by the way.
Yeah, I don't get that. Like, I at first was like, well, I guess in the MCU they haven't established that, but it's like, no, wait, they totally did. They totally did that in Loki.
Yep.
So, yeah, the best excuse I have, and this is, like, full-on a rationalization, is because Ultron is synthetic, like, I was thinking maybe it, like, creates this sort of weird feedback loop and, like, makes the stones more powerful. I don't buy that for a second. Well, because the stones have, like, we know the stones, like, cost you if you use them as an organic being.
Yeah, but they
that
shouldn't
was my
work
thought process.
At all.
But you are right. It doesn't actually make sense. I wish that the show just addressed that, even briefly. And they almost did. I thought they were about to in the final episode when I think what's-his-face or Ultron was like each stone is unique. That stone crusher that you built wasn't built to destroy these
stones. Yeah, that's
stones.
Pretty fucking bogus. They have a thingy that can destroy Infinity Stones, but it only works on the specific ones from your universe for some reason. But
yeah,
but the other, like, ones work in all the other universes. Cause
yeah,
fuck
like, that
you,
doesn't
that's
make
why.
Any sense. Like, I liked, like, I get that it's like, okay, plot force, like, it's like, okay, yep. We wanted to have Ultron be this big bad villain, so, like, I understand why they wanted to do it, and I guess at the end of the day, no real harm was done, because
I feel like
defeated.
The simple solution to this problem would have been, you know, have him break into the Watcher dimension or whatever, and you can just say they work there, because, I don't know, it's a nexus between all dimensions, so maybe that works.
Sure.
There. Let's call it that. And then you could just have them fight there rather than in any other place, because then it would have been fine.
That totally would have worked. But then we wouldn't have had the awesome thing of having Ultron just smash the Watcher through, like,
yeah,
you know,
through all the different dimensions, when they fucking New York, Wakanda, and yeah, I know, I
yeah,
yes, it was very cute. But
I saw
no,
on Reddit
I don't,
that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I saw on Reddit that one of them was like a lava planet, and if you look carefully, you can actually see Vader's castle in the distance, which means that somewhere in the multiverse, the Marvel multiverse, Star Wars exists. So that's pretty cool.
Wow.
And it's just Earth. An Easter egg. Yeah, and don't worry about it. It's just
anyway.
An Easter egg. Don't.
Anyway.
Or maybe just a really, really hardcore Star Wars fan exists somewhere in the Marvel
and he
multiverse.
Built his own Vader castle replica on a lava planet?
I could believe that happened somewhere in the multiverse.
It has to have somewhere, yes.
Yeah.
Because it either did or didn't everywhere. But, all right. So, I didn't really care for the fact that all of these things kind of have not just like canonicity, but all of them together are, you know, they interact. I didn't like that because I really wanted this to be bubble universes. Like, oh, wouldn't it be neat if this thing happened or this thing happened? But it's like, no, all these this things equals out to a fucking multiverse crossover nonsense. Which I know they all got dropped off in their own respective universes again. So I guess no permanent harm done, except for that one Black Widow who got dropped off in a universe, not the main one.
That was the one where Ant-Man killed all the Avengers. That was that one. So like Steve Rogers never got discovered in the ice, and all of the other main Avengers died.
Wait, what are you talking about? I saw Captain America in the fight in that last
episode. No. Okay, so in the episode I'm talking about, the one where Ant-Man kills everybody, he doesn't kill Captain America. He kills everybody other than Captain America. And then at the very end of the episode, Nick Fury finds Captain America and wakes him up. That's what happened. So the apocalyptic Black Widow got dropped off in that universe because she had already, because their version.
Oh,
of
that's
Black
what's going on. Okay, I was
killed.
Wondering why they were fighting Loki there. I guess. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, neat. I guess. But no, yeah. I didn't like that part. I don't really care about like the team up or who they picked for the team up or anything. That really didn't matter. Although I don't actually remember that Gamora and Iron Man episode.
Oh yeah, so that's actually that episode got delayed, because of COVID, they didn't have time to finish the Gamora episode, so they delayed that one into season two. So
there's
we'll
more
see
of this.
Yes, there is going to be another season. I knew that this was going to happen, but I do disagree with you about the team up. I love a good team up. I'm a sucker for crossovers.
Yes,
just,
I know.
You know. And I liked the team up, and also I liked that like it doesn't really matter, like they were only banding together to fight one multiversal threat, and like you said, they all went back to their universes. It doesn't negate the stakes or anything.
No,
it's not,
it doesn't.
Like,
it has no real consequences for anything. That's fine.
Yeah.
I would have preferred that they stayed independent stories. Is all.
I mean, I get that, but I love a big crossover, man. It was cool. It was just cool. I don't know what to tell you. My inner 12-year-old was just like, yeah.
I thought
like
Peggy
Party
was
Thor.
A fine Captain America. I thought that Steve was a pretty funny Iron Man.
I didn't care
for any
Star
of the
Lord.
The Iron Man, the Black Panther, evil Black Panther episode. Where, where fucking Killmonger is new Black Panther, and I didn't really care for that one. It was whatever, but I just don't like Killmonger.
Was,
I guess so.
That was like I like Killmonger, but I would say that was probably one of my least favorite episodes.
Where you go, Killmonger's a bad guy though.
Yeah, he just betrays literally everybody. Like, just never ever trust Killmonger in any version of reality.
Pretty much.
Which is kind of hilarious.
Also, I'm a little confused because in the episode where Hawkeye and Black Widow are the last people on Earth or whatever, and they stick that German dude inside the Ultron robot, he was no longer in the Ultron robot in the crossover episode. He was back in the Flash Drive Arrow.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Maybe they just re-downloaded him? Yeah,
sure.
I kind of forgot about that, but you're
totally
right.
And also, like, you know, he's... I know they had to do some bullshit to make you beat Ultron, but it's like, man, I don't really think that guy could beat Ultron.
I tend to agree.
It did feel super easy, too.
I mean, Ultron is... Like, this version of Ultron is just so stupid powerful that it's like, oh, no, he got a virus, and it destroyed him. It's like, couldn't he use, like, the Mind Stone to, like, fight him, you know, using concepts or whatever?
Reality Stone to not anymore?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. Because, yeah, he could just use the Infinity Stones however the
or
fuck he
maybe
wants.
Use the Time Stone even one time.
Yeah, yes, that would work too. Yeah, he could just rewind time.
Yeah, this is what happens when you make your bad guys the bullshittiest of power. You can not kill them with anything.
The only thing I can accept is that Ultron is a big dumb dummy dumb, and he didn't think to do that because he was so shocked that anything was inside his internal monologue.
I mean, sure, maybe, but... I don't know. he sure did lose pretty quick, though. And it's like, man. Also, that guy definitely took over that evil Ultron body. And I was like, did they not see that as a possibility? Because I figured that was the only logical outcome.
Oh, they totally did. He took over the bad guys, or, you know, Ultron's body, and then Killmonger was like, "No, I want the power," which Watcher knew was going to happen. That's why he picked Killmonger, and then they were locked into an eternal struggle of a battle of wills for the rest of eternity, I guess. Or until
inside of a pocket dimension,
other writer...
inside of a pocket dimension.
That is correct. Yes. Or until, I mean, they're locked there until a writer decides that he doesn't want them to be locked there anymore.
I guess.
Like, which is fine. And honestly, it's probably, like, that's, like, the only thing they could have done in that situation.
So, clearly, possible to remove Doctor Strange from his little self-imposed prison there. So,
yeah.
They should just do that, right? Like,
yeah, it seems really shitty. I was thinking that at the end, where it's like, okay, so they established that, like, that Doctor Strange can just go, like, he doesn't have to stay in his horrible, horrible apocalyptic universe that he accidentally created, and even, like, the other Black Widow was allowed to go into another universe,
right,
and, like, live in another universe. Like, why don't they let this version of Doctor Strange, like, go and do something? I guess he has to protect the
time bubble. Well, he's got to pay for the sins, like, of obliterating an entire universe, but...
I guess, yeah. Like, I mean, I get... The only thing I could think of is that maybe the Watcher doesn't trust this Doctor Strange to go somewhere else because he might, you know, just continue to do the horrible things he was doing before.
I feel like he's learned his lesson.
Yeah, I mean...
I feel like he's realized the folly of his actions. You know, since
he
destroyed all of
reality. I'm just saying, it's, you know, he seemed to be pretty addicted to, you know, finding spiritual entities and literally devouring them.
Sure,
so, like,
but that was all to a specific end, which he has already impossibly failed to achieve. So, you know, he's good.
I guess. I mean,
like,
he didn't
there
use
is
the
no
Infinity Stones.
Way to succeed.
He didn't use all of the Infinity Stones to try to do it, just to throw that out
No,
there.
I guess he did, like, not, but I'm thinking you can't use them in time and space when there is no time and space anymore.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
You know, since he fucking obliterated that universe, there is nothing for them to do anymore. But who's to say? They could do whatever they want, I guess. What I'm wondering is why the Watcher didn't just go in there and snatch the stones out from those guys instead of letting them fight over them for eternity, because they are no match for him now. You know, without
That's
those,
true.
They can't beat him. So why didn't he just go in there and yoink those things?
Yeah, he could just
instead
jump
of putting
in,
a band-aid on
it.
This thing, why didn't he just go in there and fix it?
Yeah, maybe there's, like, limits to what he can do. Because, I mean, like,
I'm sure
it
there
wasn't
are,
like he was,
but, like...
It wasn't like he was actively fighting in the final fight. He was really... It's like his version of interfering was just collecting a bunch of people together and letting them do the work for him. He might
be
physically incapable of doing too much, like, actual fighting.
I suppose,
of just
maybe.
What he is, you know?
I mean,
that's the.
I feel like there's
the
things he could... Well, if he's willing to have those guys show up and, you know, kill Ultron for him, surely he can have them go in there and finish the job.
I mean, okay, yeah, that's totally fair. He probably could do that. But, I mean, this solution
I know that
works,
it's the good guy
right?
thing to imprison the bad guy for an indefinite amount of time so they can come back later as an evil plague on the land again. A la any demon lord of any fantasy setting ever. But, you know, maybe we can get this double tap this thing and get the job done, you know? Like, fucking Doctor Strange could just shake it like a snow globe and just give him shaken baby syndrome or something.
yeah, sure. Why the fuck not? But, I liked this show. I don't know how to give it a ranking. Like, I guess I don't want to go too high with it because it was kind of all over the place. And it was silly, but it was, like, relatively harmless,
I don't know, the
too.
Zombie episode was kind of cool.
The zombie episode was alright. My biggest issue with the zombie episode is I just didn't like the way it ended. It was so anticlimactic. Like, it was just like, and continued next time, maybe? Like, it was like, really?
Oh, yeah, because they had to, like, make it to Wakanda and hope for the best.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like, seriously? Like, that's all we got? and then we got a brief glimpse of zombie Thanos, which is a very cool idea. and that was never followed up on. I thought maybe that Zombie Thanos was going to show up in the big crossover episode, and we got Zombie Wanda, who was, like, immediately destroyed. But yeah. They could have
done...
Yeah,
what's the deal with... I guess maybe because she's zombie, she's weaker, I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, fucking Ultron fucking dunked on Thanos, like, just with his, you know, Cyclops laser eye and just cut him in half, and it's like, oh, okay,
yeah, that
pretty
was
easy,
dumb.
I guess. But, like, Thanos was also... I really fucking hated Star-Lord Black Panther. I forgot what his name was.
Oh, T'Challa?
T'Challa.
Really? You didn't like him?
Thing.
I thought he was
great.
No,
that was so stupid. His life was too fucking perfect.
I mean, his life was fucking perfect. I'll give you that. But
God,
I
it's
think
like
that
the,
that's
it's
kind
like
of
the a... worst traits of fucking, like, shonen animes or whatever. Fucking Naruto's out here using talk no jutsu. And it's like, you and me, we're the same, dog. And it's like, oh, shit, I'm going to stop being evil now. Like, that's all it takes.
I guess the thing that I liked about it was that compared to, like, some of the other what-if scenarios, like, almost all of them went very, very badly. And then you have the one that went really fucking well.
Yeah, I guess,
like,
it's okay.
It was just
that,
nice.
I guess it's nice that there's, occasionally, we didn't wind up with the best possible universe.
You know, yeah, you know, like, it's like, can't we just have one, yeah,
like,
really, like, nice,
you know, based
universe,
on the math,
like,
we really did come out pretty good on that arrangement, because it could have been a zombie apocalypse or an Ultron apocalypse or, you know, any number of fucking horrible fallouts. Or we could have had a Lady Captain America. What are we going to do about that?
Oh, my God. No. Oh, my God.
Yeah, boys couldn't play with their action figures then. Oh, I don't know what to do about that.
But yeah, I do agree that it felt a little contrived that it was like Black Panther got taken as Star-Lord and that fixed everything.
Yeah, literally,
like,
everything.
It's like, really? Really? Like it was that easy? That's all that needed to be done? So basically, if Peter Quill was a better person, then everything would have been so much better than it was.
Apparently, yes.
Like, it's like, all right, like, whatever. Yeah, I see where you're coming from with that, but I still liked it just because I just really like Black Panther, and I thought it was cool to have, like, a Star-Lord that was also from Wakanda, and I don't know, I just, it made me feel warm and fuzzy inside, Steve, you know?
I needed
some optimism.
I needed
just a little bit of it.
I guess I kind of liked at the end when they were fighting the Collector and he had, like, all the fucking Easter egg weapons.
Oh yeah, that was kind of cool. I barely remember that episode other than the Collector.
Which also,
being ripped
some of those
fuck.
Things don't make a lot of sense, because the only difference here is that Star-Lord was a different guy. And, like, yeah, that brings a whole bunch of people differently, but, like, is Hela dead now because Star-Lord's a different guy? Like,
yeah, I don't know, because you.
Also,
feel
Captain
like...
America's shield was there. Is Captain America dead because Star-Lord's a different guy?
That's a good question.
He's not even on Earth.
Okay, it's not that Captain America is dead because Star-Lord's a different guy. It's like, because Star-Lord is a different guy, he obviously met Thanos and was somehow able to negotiate with Thanos and convince him to see the error of his ways, which left a complete power vacuum in the universe, which led to the Collector taking control. The Collector wasn't nearly as, I guess, nice as Thanos, because, like, Thanos was kind of, like, religious in the way that he was approaching taking over the universe, like, you know, just kill half of everything, you know. He, like, sort of weirdly gave people a chance sometimes.
Sure.
Like, he was like a good guy in his own twisted version of reality, but because he's no longer the one making those choices, now the Collector is doing it. So I would assume that the Avengers, like the film The Avengers, would play out very differently. I mean, the Collector probably wouldn't have trusted Loki enough to give him the Mind Stone, so that would have been completely different. So,
true.
I don't know, it's like one of those butterfly effect things, you know? It's like, okay, if Star-Lord's a good person and convinces Thanos to be a good guy, everything else changes in ways that we could not possibly predict.
I guess.
Like, so...
Feels
which
weird,
is a really,
though, but okay.
Which is a really complicated way of saying that they just wanted to have a bunch of Easter eggs and to not think too much about it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
If Hela is dead, there's no Ragnarok.
Yeah, that's true. But I would say overall, I'm leaning towards 6 on this one. Maybe 6.5.
I will happily give you 6, because that's what I was going to say.
You're going to give me 6? All right, cool. Because it's better than average. Like, you know, average is 5, and I'd say it's better than that. But not much better. So great. Good. You know, it's funny how you and I disagree on a lot of things, but we are pretty close on other things, which is just weird.
We arrived at the same number for totally different reasons.
Exactly. I like that. It's wonderful. In Marvel-related news, I fucked up that transition, but it's fine.
Buttery smooth.
thank you. Agatha Harkness will be getting her own spinoff. That's Agatha Harkness, played by Katherine Hahn from WandaVision. And I think that you and I are probably going to agree on this one, too, and that is that I don't need this. Why are you doing this, Marvel? Like, I guess maybe it'll be amazing, but I doubt it a lot. And I really liked WandaVision, and I really liked Agatha Harkness. I thought she was great, but she doesn't need her own spinoff. She doesn't need that. Like, please stop.
You're coming around.
God damn it. You're wearing me down is what's happening, I think.
I mean, I don't think this one had anything to do with me. I think you just finally saw behind the curtain. You were like, huh, maybe the spinoff character from the spinoff show does not need her own spinoff.
Yes, I do feel that. Very, like, it's like, just why?
It's like, okay, what's that spinoff show from Big Bang Theory called?
Young Sheldon.
Young Sheldon, so a spinoff of that show. And now imagine they have a spinoff of that show about, like, I don't know, like the neighbor kid or something. It's like,
yeah.
Why would I ever watch that? Because it's tangentially related.
Yeah. Like, the only thing I could think of that might make me interested in this is I do want to know more about how, like, the magic works in the, like, cinematic, the MCU. I want to know more about it because they've always been very, very vague about it.
I think we're going to stay that way.
Yeah, it's probably going to stay that way. Marvel just really does not like to give details. Like, it's just like, nah, don't worry
about it. If you start explaining it, then all of a sudden it has limits, and then they can't do whatever they want with it.
Correct, yeah. So they don't want to establish limits. They just want to be like, yeah, it worked this way one time, and
right,
it might work.
Right, because you remember how fucking Doctor Strange was almost single-handedly taking on Thanos?
Yes. Yeah, I mean...
Because magic? Because unexplained magic?
Yeah. I love magic. Like, I love a good magic system. I really do wish that Marvel would, like, be more specific in how it works, but
I mean,
that's
I
just
would
not
agree.
Gonna be something
I
ever
truly details,
get.
But, you know, once you start adding mana bars or something to things, all of a sudden it's like, huh, maybe we can't have this guy single-handedly take on the entire power of the universe.
Yeah. I don't necessarily want mana bars.
He has the
bars,
power of
but...
friendship on his side, because that is the most powerful thing in the universe.
Of course, yes. This has been firmly established
also,
across all lore.
Friendship equals magic, if My Little Pony is to be believed. So.
Yes. Yep, that is correct. I can't even pretend to be excited for this Agatha Harkness spinoff. Like, just stop. Please stop. I love good spinoffs. Like, I loved WandaVision. Like, I want more shows, but I want more shows that are, like, relevant. You know, it's like, oh, this one minor villain from this one show is gonna get her own thing. Like, just fucking why? Just please. Oh, God.
Oh, speaking of spinoffs, on tangents, and slightly related because they're owned by the same parent company, my dad told me that he watched all of the Star Wars Visions.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, this was weird. He's like, yeah.
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 Yeah, it is. I finally got around to watching, just while we're on the subject, I got around to watching the 9th Jedi episode of Visions. That was definitely the best episode I've seen. Holy shit. I loved that the lightsabers changed color depending on
who was
holding them.
Yep.
That alone made it worth it for me because I just think that's so fucking cool. But, yeah, I wish people would understand that Star Wars Visions is not like a show in a traditional sense. It's just like a collection of a bunch of different stories.
I really wish I could have been there to see him watch that fucking anime wee bullshit and be like, what the fuck is all this Japanimene nonsense? Man, I wish I was there.
I'm sure my dad's watched Star Wars Visions. I gotta figure out what his opinion is on it.
Yeah, I hope he liked the one with the twins where they cut the Star Destroyer in half.
Yeah.
That's the most anime-iest one there is.
I have a feeling that he absolutely hated the music episode.
Smart man.
Which, you know, shocking. It's cute! Not every episode needs to be the same! Whatever. It's harmless.
Not the same,
it's
just harmless. Good.
Whatever. But I gotta ask him. He also, he's gonna ask me about whether or not I've been watching Your Lie in April, to which I would reply, no.
Have you not seen Your Lie in April?
No. Oh. I've started it.
Oh, it's really good.
I started it, but I know everyone says it's good, and, like, I keep meaning to watch it, but I
saw it before it was cool, so.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations. I'm just so happy that you
fucking
got to
second waves. You just discovered it. I saw that shit years ago.
I hope that validates you and makes you feel like you're better than me.
Yeah,
so,
a little bit.
Congratulations. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Good for you.
For I'm this one for thing, I had to jump on you.
Yeah. Sure. I'm just ready for a fucking when they announce a live action Stormlight Archive like HBO series, I am going to be unbearable in my like, you know, don't even understand you don't understand the grand ramifications of the Cosmere. Hey, you haven't even read Elantris. Like, and that's gonna be me. I'm sure one of those guys.
The listeners can't wait.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be...
You can fucking...
They're
actually
ready.
A show no one besides you has ever seen.
Dude, when they... They better someday do a Stormlight Archive live-action series, and it'll be amazing. And it has to be a series. It cannot be done in a movie format. It is in-fucking possible. It's way too big. Like, I don't even know how you would go about doing that.
Poorly, probably.
Yeah, very, very poorly. You'd miss so much, and it would just be awful. No.
Catch everybody up in the beginning with narrations. Like, in the beginning, there was a planet full of something, and then they flew off into space with the shard blades, and then the heroes built a bridge. Did I get any of that right?
Okay, the shard blades are a thing, so I'll give you points for that.
There was a bridge. I remember the bridge. Some guy was building a bridge or something.
He wasn't. There is a bridge, but he was carrying a bridge.
Right. Carrying a bridge, and also there's a city full of gods, and they all got the god flu, and then that was bad to be gods.
But yeah.
And then that guy rebooted the system and gave everybody their god magic back, and then it was good.
Yeah.
To be a god
hey,
again.
That was pretty good. Yeah. That you nailed. That was fucking perfect.
Yeah.
When I have finished Words of Radiance, which is the second book, I'm definitely going to fucking talk about it. I can't wait. But I'm not going to talk about it yet, because I'm I don't know, not even a third of the way through. Like, I have a long way to go. I've been reading it nice and slow. I'm taking my time, which is good for you, Steve, because it means I don't talk about it every single episode.
That is nice. Top shelf. All right. You were saying
anyway,
about... Something? Spinoff.
Spinoff of a spinoff. Katherine Hahn is going to star in the Agatha Harkness TV show, and I just don't care. And I wish I did care, but I'm not. I just don't.
Why? Why do you wish you cared?
Anyway, in our next piece of news, which is going to be another negative one, so, you know, yay, Marvel's The Avengers is getting paid experience boost. Like, it already introduced this. This is after they repeatedly promised, both in the lead up to the game's release and like several times over the past year, that all of the microtransactions of the game would be cosmetic only. So they just broke their promise, decided at the last minute that they wanted to introduce paid experience boosts. And hoped that no one would be upset somehow. And they decided to do this right after the game was made available on Xbox Game Pass. So they had like a whole rush of new players who didn't really know and didn't know what they were getting into. And so, you know, it's like, hey, these people, we can milk them for all the cash they're worth. Let's give them some experience boosts, bitch. And I'm done. I'm going to just like decide this now. I will not go back on this, no matter how much I might want to. I am not playing the Avengers anymore. I am done with this. They just don't fucking care. They don't care about me. They don't care about any of their customers. And they are just only in this for a quick buck because they know that this game is going to be dead within the next, like, 2 years. And they're just trying to make as much money off of it as they can before it dies. And, you know, I guess I respect the hustle, but you can go fuck yourself, Square Enix.
Hi, no, I'm Yasuke Masuda. I'm the CEO of Square Enix, and I would just like to tell you to go fuck yourself. Personally, from me to you, go fuck yourself. Kill yourself.
God damn it. I'm so pissed. Yeah, I mean, you know, I have been so nice to this game.
Yeah,
I have
you
given
have.
This game so many more chances than it deserved to get. And I know that. Like, mm-hmm. I'm aware.
Yep.
And
it was a bad relationship, and you just kept taking them back. They kept telling you they changed, Adam, but they didn't change.
Yeah, Steve, I don't know if you know this, but I have a history of not making good decisions in regards to my relationships.
Oh, you.
Oh,
well,
God.
You know what? The good news is that it took you a while, but you finally saw the light.
Yes, I did. I'm going to uninstall it today. I haven't turned on my PS4 for a few days, so I haven't uninstalled it yet, but I will uninstall it soon. Like the next time I turn it on for whatever reason.
Man,
and, I am
just the audacity.
it's so fucking rude. Like I remember making so many excuses. I was trying to be so kind to these people, and it's just like, I'm done. My patience is completely gone at this point. Like, fuck you people. Fuck you so very much. Like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. It's just not worth it. Like, God, fuck it.
I
spent
money on
this game. How many
people do you think
are
still playing this game? Like, 800 people? They're probably like, you know what? Fuck those 800 customers permanently. Some of those people will give us some money, and then we're good to go.
Yeah, they just decided to completely fuck over the very few people who were still giving it a chance. And it's like, you know what? I'm done. Like, I'm done. And honestly, if they had decided, like, super early on, like, yeah, okay, we'll have paid experience boosts, but that's it. And if they had been upfront about it and it was something that was like announced that they were going or, you know, anything, if they were honest about what they were doing, then I wouldn't be as upset and I would probably forgive it and I would keep playing the game.
See,
but
well,
for them to just
whip
it out secretly.
That's an entirely separate problem.
I mean, that is probably a separate problem, but like just the lack of honesty was like the final straw for me, because it's like, man, I mean, you guys just don't care.
Okay, well, yes, they were absolutely being liars, scummy liars, but like you shouldn't be like, okay, well, if they had told me up front what they were going to do, I would have been fine with it, because if somebody's like, hey, just so you know, honesty forward, I'm going to occasionally walk by and smack you in the back of the head. Now, it's going to hurt. But I figure if I tell you ahead of time, you'll just get numb to it, and it won't matter anymore. That's kind of what you're saying.
It's not the same thing. No, it's not. Like, paid experience boosts that you don't have to pay for, but you can if you want to. That doesn't, like,
ruin my experience. Is there a competitive element to this game?
No, there's not.
Is there a cooperative element to this game?
There is a cooperative
so
element, yes.
So somebody can pay a bunch of money to be good at the game and win the game on other people's behalf?
Theoretically, yes.
So... not good, then.
No, it's not good. I'm not trying to defend the decisions that they're making. I'm just saying that, like, it's the lying and the, like, skeevy, like, oh, we're just going to work this in and no
well,
one's
yeah,
going to notice.
Well, obviously, they're absolute scumbags, for sure.
I'm just, for I'm sure. done. I'm fucking done with, Like, I'm tempted to no longer play any Square Enix games, but, like, I know that I'm going to walk back on that. I'm not going to commit to that, but I am committing to no more The Avengers. I will not play it again.
This is
exactly
what they're hoping for, because it doesn't matter if you stop playing, because everybody's already stopped playing. There's just you, like, bonus people holdouts. You're just gravy after this point. So if a single one of you gives the money for those stupid XP bonuses, they're like, yeah, okay, awesome, it worked. Like, nobody's ever going to come, like, a small fraction of people are going to be like, I'm done with Square Enix forever. Most people don't look at who publishes a game when they buy it, Adam. Like,
that's true.
If he was like, oh, this was made with Frost Engine or whatever, well, I have to sell this back. I can't play this game now. Like, it doesn't happen. You know?
I mean, you're right, okay? Look, all I'm saying is that the only thing I can do is to not give this any more part, not have this be in my life anymore. I'm done being abused by this particular game.
And that's good. You've done the thing you can do. You've stopped feeding the beast.
Yes, that's I'm not good. Going to feed the beast
Proud
anymore.
Of you.
Thank you, Steve. Yes, thank you. All right.
I can't believe him.
What?
I can't believe him. It's so awesome. Just so in your face with the absolute fucking disgust for their customers.
It really is. It's just like, it's so over the top. Like, it makes me want to
right in your
up.
Open mouth.
Like, just, yeah, like, please, let me bend over for you. Like,
seriously.
Fuck you. Like, oh my god. Anyway, our last piece of news, and this is a better one, so we can end on a hopefully somewhat positive note, is that Sora from Kingdom Hearts is going to be the official last DLC character in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. And I think that that's great. I'm very happy that Sora finally gets his time. I mean, that was like one of those characters that it's like, oh, wouldn't it be great if they got Sora in Smash Bros.? But that'll never happen. So I think this is nice. All right, will you play as Sora ever, Steve, or do you just not care?
Well, that's two separate questions.
That is two separate questions.
Well, first of all, number one, anime sword boy. Number two,
that's fair. That's fucking fair. But it's different.
I know
it's Sora.
I know it's different, but it's not. But it is.
And his sword is a key. That's completely different.
Okay, if the sword is shaped like a lance because of that fireball shooting broad from Fire Emblem, that's technically not the same. But it's an anime sword boy. Anyway.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't give two flying fucks about Sora. I really don't. I know that some
really?
People have a huge attachment to this franchise for some reason, but this became a joke to me the second, like, fucking Kingdom Hearts 2.3 came out or whatever the fuck it was called. Like, I can't take a franchise seriously that had, like, 15 years between its second and third installment, but it wasn't the end. There were still games in the middle. Like, it's just a big... Now, I guess hypocritical of me, because Grand Theft Auto did that exact same thing with all their weird ancillary things, but I don't care about this. Yeah. I don't care about it. It's dumb, and it's hokey, and the story is silly, and it's something darkness hearts, friendship, darkness hearts.
Oh, yeah. I'm not like a Kingdom Hearts fanboy or anything.
Right, but like, that's the thing
bit
people
Kingdom
are
hearts,
drawn to
but...
about this stupid game. And like, Sora, from what I understand about him, is a piece of cardboard in the shape of a child, not like a person with like goals or feelings. So like... I'm not really that interested in him in any way, other than he has a very unique weapon. I have a Keyblade, for what that's worth. So
you have a Keyblade?
I have a Keyblade. I bought it at the State Fair one year.
Okay, all right.
It cost me like $80 back when I was like 15, so it was a lot of money back then.
When it comes to Smash Brothers, I have a very simple thing that gets me excited about a new character. Do I know who that character is? And
okay.
If the answer is yes, then I get at least a little bit excited.
Okay, sure, that's fair. That's what they're trying to trap you with. That's why all those people fucking creamed their jeans when Sephiroth came out.
Exactly. And
which
I know
anime
who Sephiroth
sword boy,
is.
By the way.
Hey, anime sword man. That is a full-grown man.
Okay.
With lovely, silky hair.
Okay.
Not just a simple boy.
Anime sword man. Whatever.
All right.
Anime sword right, husbando, that's... I don't know, whatever. Anywho, I don't really care about Sora being there, and I mean, I'd probably try him once if I was still playing Smash, which I'm not.
I gotta get back into playing Smash. I was playing it, just, I don't know, maybe a, like,
I haven't
6 months
played
ago,
as, like,
I
was, the last, like, five really characters. Into it, like, but... fucking...
Oh, yeah,
so,
that's fair.
Okay, so I treat this, like, the same way that I'm treating Overwatch, I guess, where it's like, all these new people come out for Overwatch. It's like, dude, the last new character I remember from Overwatch was fucking Sombra. This is the last new character I played as, because I stopped playing Overwatch.
I think the last
anymore.
New character I played as in Overwatch was... Ash, I think.
That's, like, the most recent, like, one, right?
I don't know. I have no
idea. I don't
idea
either, but I'm sure lots of delightful porn exists about her. Anyway.
Oh, of course there is. Mm-hmm. Come on, this is Overwatch. There's literally porn of every character.
I know.
Like, all right.
The internet's a lovely place and offers us a lot of wonderful things, and I'll leave it at that. Anyway, I don't care about Sora because I don't play his dumb game, and as fun as it is to imagine Mickey Mouse as a, like, Wizard King. I can't do it.
And that is pretty cool.
So,
see,
I've only played one Kingdom Hearts in my life. Oh, I'm sorry, two Kingdom Hearts. I played like a GBA one, I think. It had like a roulette wheel of cards you had to use to attack with. Like, you couldn't just hit the attack button. You had to, like, switch to a card that said attack, like fucking Super Mario Sticker Star. I don't know if you've ever played that obscure title. But, like, it's something like that.
I
like,
have
if you,
not,
a limit, you have
no.
a limited pool of attackability that you have to... I don't know. Whatever. Anywho.
Yeah.
I don't care. This doesn't interest me. I'm not going to play as him because I haven't been playing Smash because Smash is a party game and I don't have any friends.
Yeah. All right. I've been playing Smash, though I... Like I said, I've been falling out of it more recently, but I still want to keep playing it. But I'm mostly excited about Sora because Sora is, like, the ultimate... character that is surrounded by a bunch of different characters from a bunch of different franchises, and it just feels right to me to have him also be in Smash Brothers now too, you know.
Well, a bunch of different franchises means Disney properties, but yes,
but now it's like, now he also is in, like, Nintendo shit, and, like, you know, like, I just love the idea of having Sora from Kingdom Hearts, fucking a piranha plant, Sephiroth and Steve from Minecraft battling it out on top of, I don't know, like...
Hyrule Castle,
you know? Like, it's just all the ridiculousness of all of these different things all just being smashed together at once. Just, like, it makes me it makes my little nerd heart go pitter-patter. I love it.
You know, Sora has already fought Sephiroth in his own game.
Did he? I didn't even know that shit.
Yes,
that's
like,
cool.
Kingdom Hearts has a crossover thingy with Final Fantasy already, because fucking Cloud's in there too, I think.
I did not know that. That's,
I mean, he's dressed like an anime douchebag in there. He's got, like, belts and chains and fucking fabric wings and stuff all over the damn place, because I think the inspiration for his design was, I don't know, fucking Jackson Pollock or something? I don't know. But whatever, he looks terrible. But yeah, Sephiroth is in there. You can fight him and everything. So, this isn't even the first time those two characters have met.
I didn't know that. So, all right, I'd replace Sephiroth with some other asshole.
Pac-Man.
Like, pick one. One of the... Literally, yeah, Pac-Man, or literally any Fire Emblem character of, like, the 20,000 that are in the game.
The anime sword boys.
yeah, yes. But I just, like, Smash Brothers is, like, the ultimate crossover, and it makes sense to have the ultimate crossover boy be in the ultimate crossover game. I think this is cool. I'm very, very
I'm not mad about it.
This.
Like, I'm not sitting here like, I can't believe they picked Sora over such and such. I just don't really care. Like, I'm more interested in the actual reveal than whoever the actual character is going to be, you know? Because, like, whenever Smash comes out with a new character, it's like, ooh, that's exciting. Who are they going to do? What's their little intro movie going to be? But then I stopped caring after that, because it's like, well, I know I'm never going to play Steve from Minecraft.
Did you watch the intro movie
for Sora?
Yeah, it was
really boring.
Yeah, it was kind of boring. Yeah, I guess it was supposed to pay homage to the announcement trailer for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. I guess. Maybe I should just, like, watch, like, a compilation of all of their freaking, like, animated movies or whatever, and then I would fully understand the story such as it is. But I have not done that.
Remember when those guys was fucking fighting the evil monster thingy, and then Sephiroth showed up and fucking cut it in half with one attack?
I missed that one. I don't think I watched
that. Okay, well,
that's
how they introduced Sephiroth. They're like, hey, here he is, a literal god.
I mean, that sounds awesome, honestly. That sounds so fucking cool.
So in the Smash Bros. Universe, do all of these people just exist on the same planet, or are they getting pulled in from other places? Because, like, in Brawl, when they had that, like, story mode type thing, all these people did kind of exist in the same universe, just on different places. Like, you know, fucking Donkey Kong just exists in a jungle somewhere in the same place as Mario and Kirby did, even though Kirby is not from whatever fucking planet this is. He's from the, you know, Dreamland, which is a totally different planet, but, like,
I think that it's, like, more of, God, how do I describe it? Well, I could make a comparison to the Stormlight Archive, but I'm not going to do that for your benefit.
Thanks.
But I think that it's sort of like a toy chest, you know, like the first game was,
well, it
like
was, yeah,
they're literal it's toys.
This is just
right?
The Lego movie, just using his imagination or whatever, I guess.
Yeah, so I think this is just like an upgraded version of that. It's all just right. Like, it's modern gamers who are like, I want this character and this character all to fight each other, and that's like,
so
what
that kid
it's
expand
all about
his,
you know,
toy
it's,
arsenal
so
from
it's,
just being Nintendo characters to going out and buying a snake action figure.
It's Sakurai's mind. That is the world of Smash Brothers. It's just his inner mindscape.
Okay.
And all these characters just exist wherever they happen to be. All
right, that's neat.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. So, like, if someone else has a better idea, I don't know, let me know.
cool.
I'm active on Twitter, goddammit. Someone interact with me on Twitter who isn't just trying to sell me an overpriced PlayStation 5, please.
How about
Please.
A sex robot? Would you prefer a sex robot?
No, I don't want a sex robot either. Like,
or
I want
a
real
to an
person. Fans. Yeah, no, none of that. None of that.
Those are my all favorite. Right, I get like a couple of those a day sometimes, and it's like, oh man, these guys must be coordinating.
Are you engaging with them? Because
no, of course
like,
not, but
then
like,
you get like flagged
no,
or whatever,
but it's,
and they
it's
just
funny because
sending
it's like
you.
I get one, and it's like, well, that's obviously a robot, and then like an hour later, I get another one. It's like, hey, I just got one of you today. Like, I know it's just a random fucking name generator that they're sending these things out to on a big list or something, but it's like, man, there's somebody hot on the tail of somebody else doing the same list. So I like to imagine that everybody on Earth got one message, and then that same message an hour later from a different person, because they're both doing the same scam.
I once, like, had a whole conversation with one where I was, like, not giving away any personal information, and then, like, it just kept evolving because she wasn't actually responding to what I was saying, and then I just started saying, beep, boop, I am a robot, and it was really
fun.
And
you triggered the word where it said
robot,
right?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was, yeah.
See, what you gotta do with those is you gotta start using fucking synonyms or something for those words. So you have to try to guess what. It's like Boggle. You gotta try to guess what words they didn't think of so that you can you can try to trick it into responding incorrectly.
Amazing.
Or you can just ignore them because there's a 0% chance that a random stranger met you at a rally the other day and just wanted to hang out. Hey, I'm not that person. Oh, shit, that's embarrassing. Well, hey, you wanna talk anyway? That will never happen. So you can just ignore all of those conversations.
You're completely right. Anyway, we're now going to move on to the Magic Hour, and it is, I don't think we did one last
no,
week.
No, we didn't.
I remember ending, yeah, that was, that. I realized that later. I was like, oh wow, I ended that episode quick.
Yes,
and
you rushed me very quickly to the finish line on that one.
I'm sorry, I had to go see the movie, which I'm going to talk about later, but so what I'm trying to say is I don't remember shit, so you can just go ahead and get started, because I don't know anything. Something
you don't
about...
even want to try, like maybe scratch your head and see if you can come up with anything.
Scratch my head. All right, let's see. I remember the Urza breeding warriors. That was a long time ago, but I remember that happening. Let's see what else happened. What, there was a dragon. I remember dragon. Wasn't that recent? Wasn't there a dragon recently? I don't remember what the dragon did. No, I'm sorry, man. I'm a terrible, terrible memory person. So
okay,
please.
There was a dragon. It was Nico Bolas. He was slayed by Tetsu Umezawa.
Oh yeah, Tetsuo! God damn it! I should have remembered Tetsuo. I knew that. Fuck! All right. I'm fine. I'm calming down.
Okay. The year 3620 AR. Aeron the Relentless steals a book of magic from Grandmother Sanger from Revnica. Reveca. In exchange, Rebecca casts an immortality spell on Aaron.
So he steals a book of magic from a person to give to another person, and then the second person gave him immortality. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, I was just making sure that I got a little confused as to who was casting the spell and why. What was the guy who stole the book? What was his name again?
Aaron the Relentless.
Aaron the Relentless? Mm-hmm. Tell me more about Aaron the Relentless. Yes. I don't know what question to ask about him, but my question is, Aaron the Relentless?
That's not a thing, but okay.
Can we just pretend? I just want to know about who he is. Who is Aaron the Relentless?
He is the Goblin King of the Cusco Mountains. Except he's not a goblin.
So he's a Goblin King of the Cusco Mountains, but he's not a goblin, and he is immortal.
He is a human, and he is immortal.
Okay. Is he alive still, or
I do believe he is still alive.
All right.
He's a pretty minor character, though.
Yeah, he's just chilling with his goblins. Does he? No, I shouldn't ask that question. Never mind. So he just like lives with the goblins in like a mountain or something, and like the goblins just like are like, yeah, this immortal human is like, he's our guy.
So, fun fact about him, though, that immortality that he got makes him unable to die, and it just stops him from aging, but it doesn't actually stop him from taking damage, and it will never heal when he does.
So
he's got lots of cuts and bruises and things that he just has forever.
So Aaron the Relentless is from Elantris. That's what I'm getting. Does he still have pain, or is his body is just being damaged?
He's got the pain forever, pretty much.
Okay, but yeah, so he still feels pain at least. All right, that fucking blows. All right, cool. I would hate to be
well.
That guy.
Grandmother Sanger is not a nice lady, so I mean, she didn't do many favors.
Wait, so Grandmother Sanger was the one who gave him the thing? I thought that she was the one that he stole the book from.
All right, let me just read it again for clarificational purposes. All right. Aaron the Relentless steals a book of magic from Grandmother Sanger for Revelek. In exchange, Revelek casts an immortality spell on Aaron.
Okay. But it was an immortality spell that I assume Revelek got from the book.
Correct. It was the last spell in the book. And that's what he asked for his reward. And Revelek's like, yeah, you got it. Whatever. Let's do it. Turns out it was a bad.
Yeah, that makes all the sense. You know, magic always has a cost. Mm-hmm. This is like an established thing. So, yep. All right. Well, I guess we'll move on now to humble opinions. All right. Revelek. No, not Revelek. That's not the important part. Aaron the Relentless, who's from Elantris. Not actually, but it'll help me remember. He's immortal. All right, I'm gonna try to remember that shit. Maybe. We're going to move on to humble opinions, and I was hoping to go first, if that's all right.
Sure.
All right. I'll try to keep it tight. Last episode, I was running. I ended the episode early so I could run off to see Venom, Let There Be Carnage in the movie theater, and now I've got my thoughts on it. In my humble opinion, Venom, Let There Be Carnage is slightly better than the first movie, but that's not really saying a whole lot. It's more entertaining than the first movie. So I enjoyed that. And it is often very funny, but it's rarely funny when it means to be.
Oh.
And it tries to be funny a lot, but it's just not. The first, like, half or so of this movie... So, I'm assuming... You haven't seen this, right?
No.
All right. So, I'm just going to spoil it. I'm assuming you don't give a shit, right?
No, go ahead.
Cool, great. All right. So, like, the first half of this movie is basically just Venom and Eddie butting heads and acting like an old married couple who just don't get along anymore.
Sure.
Like, Venom is mad because he wants to go eat people, like he wants to go be a lethal protector. They say lethal protector like 8 times in this movie, and it's like, yes, 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 I get it. The 90s, they happened. Let's calm down, shall we? So Venom wants to go and eat people, but Eddie says no, eating people is bad, and Eddie wants to go and be a reporter, and he goes again. Apparently he has gone multiple times to see Carnage, or not Carnage, but Cletus. He goes to see Cletus in prison multiple times, because he's, like, interviewing him for, like, an article/book, which is, like, it sounds cool in theory, but, like, Eddie's a terrible fucking interviewer, because every time he shows up, he's, like, barely asking Cletus any questions, and he's just like, why am I here? Why do you keep asking me to come here? And it's like, you came here so you could interview him, and you're, like, the worst interviewer I've ever seen in my life. Like, you're not even trying, but whatever. And then, long story short, Carnage, or Cletus, bites Eddie, as you can see in the trailer. He bites Eddie, and then he gets a little bit of the symbiote in him, and then he's being wheeled away to get his lethal injection, and unsurprisingly, it doesn't work, and then he gets taken over by the symbiote, and I'm a little confused as to, like, it was like, okay, so Carnage, like, the actual Carnage, is evil just because he's evil, and he wants to kill Venom because he just wants to kill Venom. Like, they don't really explain why Carnage wants to kill Venom. Like, Cletus wants to kill Eddie because Eddie, like, revealed his story to the world before he was ready, and he tracked down, like, the bodies that Cletus had hid on his serial killer murder spree. It's complicated, and I don't really want to go into it because it doesn't fucking make any sense anyway. Cool. So just don't worry about it. But at least they give Cletus a reason to hate Eddie, and Eddie just hates Cletus because he's a crazy serial killer. Right. So that's fine. But, like, I just don't understand. Like Carnage is just like, I want to kill you, Dad. And Venom is just like, oh shit, it's a red one. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that also, like, that's in the trailer where he's like, oh no, it's a red one, I can't fight that. It is never explained as to what he means by that. I guess he's just scared of red. I don't know why.
Who isn't?
Anyway, so the first half of the movie is just Venom and Eddie, like, just fighting, and of course what inevitably happens is they, like, get divorced, and Venom goes and leaves, and he starts taking over other people, and he's partying, he goes to a rave, and he almost raps. I thought he was going to rap, but instead he just gives a really awkward speech at the rave about how, like, love conquers all or some bullshit. It was very Perfect. Awkward, and it was hilarious for all of the wrong reasons. Like, the whole time I just kept asking myself why it was being made. Like, it was like, what? Like, who made this? Like, what was their thought process in having Venom just, like, having an existential crisis and, like, you know, going through basically a bad breakup, except, like, they're not romantic. It's just dumb. And Carnage breaks out of prison. Carnage breaks out of prison, and Cletus, it turns out, is in love with Shriek. Shriek is, like, this person, this mutant, and they do call her a mutant, who has screaming powers, I don't believe is from the comics, and I think that she got her screaming powers from the symbiote, but I could be wrong.
I believe
I'm
that
not
is
an
correct,
expert
yes.
in Shriek. Yeah. But he's in love with her, so he goes and tracks her down in a hilarious scene where Cletus just, like, breaks into a gas station, kills the gas station attendant and then goes behind the counter and sticks his little Carnage tendril into a laptop, and then he is able to hack into the government website to figure out where Shriek is being held.
Exactly.
Just on like some asshole's laptop at a gas station in the middle of nowhere.
Don't you remember when whatever X-Men movie that was, where the guy was staring at the TV and learning all of human history through the TV?
Oh, yeah, I do remember. I forgot about that. But yeah, I do remember that.
Or any other thing when they've done like, something stupid like that.
This whole movie, like, I felt this with the previous movie too, but it really feels like this whole franchise is, like, should have been made, like, 15 years ago. This really, truly feels like it should have come out in 2006. And that's not a positive. Like, that's not something... It makes me weirdly nostalgic for the way superhero movies used to be. So, like, I enjoyed myself watching this movie, but it's not good. Like, sure. No. But anyway, so, Carnage and Eddie are broken up, and, or Carnage and Eddie, whatever. Carnage is tracking down his girlfriend. He finds his girlfriend, and they decide to get married, and they're murdering people along the way.
Oh, that's
like,
nice.
Whatever. It's cute, you know, a nice little nuptial murder spree. Why the fuck not?
Sure.
Eddie is trying to track down Venom, but he can't seem to find him. Eventually, he does find him because he's hitching a ride on Eddie's ex. Fiance, who is now engaged to the guy that she was dating in the last movie.
Sure.
Because this movie just went above and beyond and just trying to make Eddie like just the biggest, most sad, pathetic loser that ever was, which is very much a thing in the comics, and I know that because I've actually read some of these comics, but it like they really hammered home just how fucking pathetic Eddie Brock is, which I thought was funny. I don't think it was supposed to be funny, but I thought it was hilarious. anyway, so Venom is hitching a ride on, what's her face? I can't think of it. Anne. And then he and Eddie have a very awkward conversation where Anne is like, you know, is like translating for Venom because Venom doesn't want to come out because he's not speaking to Eddie right now because they had this big fight. And Eddie is like, awkwardly trying to say, I'm sorry, what do you want me to say? We need to take care of this. Come on, we need to fight and you know, I promise you can eat all the people. And which he does do, which is hilarious, but I'll get to that later. And eventually, of course, Venom decides to go back to Eddie. And then they have their big showdown with Carnage in a church. This is, in fact, the only time they met Carnage. The whole movie, like, the villain, so, like, the hero wearing his hero costume, like, Venom and Carnage only actually meet one time, and that's at the very end. They have this big over-the-top fight, which, I will say, to the movie's credit, was substantially better than the final fight in the first Venom movie, because, first of all, I could see what was happening,
right.
So, you know, that alone already made it substantially better. But it was also much longer, and it was a pretty decent fight. It wasn't, like, earth-shattering or anything. It's not going to go down in history as one of the best fight scenes of all time. But I've seen much, much worse. So, like, you know, I'll give them some points for that. It was a pretty fun fight, though it was hilarious, like, at the end. So Anne gets kidnapped. And Carnage is like, I'm going to rip her apart right in front of you. And then he just turns around and starts going to the top of the building for absolutely no reason. Like, he's just like, I'm going to kill her right now. And then he just nopes out.
Well, he's setting himself up for a dramatic fall later.
Yes, exactly. And then Venom, you know, of course, follows him. I'm sorry, I'm just remembering this. Venom follows him, and Shriek is there, and she's using her powers to fight this cop guy that she hates. I don't really want to get into the cop guy, because it just doesn't fucking matter. there's this cop guy, and she hates him, and she's using her powers, which really piss off Carnage, because, you know, she has
sonic powers, loud sound powers.
Yep. And yeah, and that fucks up the symbiote, which, that's another thing, they hammer that home several times. Like, I think they say fire and sound, like, at least 10 times in this movie. They really, really reinforce that fire and sound are the weaknesses of symbiotes. But whatever, it's fine. So Shriek is doing her shrieking thing, and that's pissing off Carnage. And then Cletus is like, no, you can't hurt her. I love her. And then, like, they start to kind of, like, become unformed or whatever. Like, they're not in unison. And then Eddie is trapped underneath this fucking, like, this big heavy piece of the church. And he's like, come on, Venom. Like, we can do this. Like, you know, look at them. They're not even a good pair. We're a great pair. We're the best, mm-hmm. Power mm-hmm. couple. This, like, holy shit. I don't actually want to know, but I do kind of want to know what my ex thinks of this movie, because I feel like there's so much content that she could work with. They could work with in making a horrible, horrible erotic fan fiction. But whatever. Anyway, but they're like, yeah.
And then Venom.
And he's like, we're a great couple.
And Carnage and Cletus and what was the other ones called?
And Anne and Shriek.
Yep. They all got a big pile.
Oh my god. But
they split
those
two ladies in half like bananas.
Eddie and Carnage, like, truly unite, and they're like, we are Venom.
Of course.
We are the lethal protector.
And I am Iron Man.
And
sure.
They push. Yeah. And then they push the fucking big heavy thing off of them, and they jump up, and they're going to fight Carnage, but they're having a hard time because he's still super powerful. Don't really know why he's so powerful, but he just is some reason. Whatever. Yeah, whatever. And then, this is so funny. They're like, oh, wait. Then Eddie is inside Venom's head, and he's like, we should use Shriek. We could do something with her. Her powers, it affects symbiotes. And then Carnage, no, I think it was Venom, just, like, smacks Shriek, and she goes falling. And then on her way down to the bottom of this church, she starts screaming. So that was his, like, he didn't try to negotiate. He wasn't like, scream for me. He just threw her off the side, and then she started screaming.
Just gave her the pimp hand, yeah.
Which is so funny. And then that worked, and it separated the two symbiotes from their hosts. And they both start falling. Venom is able to jump from Anne's boyfriend to Anne back to Eddie again and protect him from the fall. But Carnage is just, like, gone. So Cletus crashes to the ground. Venom eats Carnage, like the little symbiote. It's just like a little,
sure.
Fucking puddle. And he just grabs it and eats it. And then he grabs Cletus. And Cletus is like, this isn't fair. All I ever wanted was to be your friend. You never even asked me what I wanted. And, it's just like this sad, pathetic bullshit. And then Venom, using the only fuck of the movie, is just like, fuck this guy, and bites his fucking head off and throws him. So, like, in a weird way, I did like this movie, but, like, it's just so weird and awkward. And then Venom and Eddie leave, because they are now wanted for murder, because they just murdered a person. And they decide to go to, some island in, like, Tahiti or whatever bullshit. And then in the after credit scene... they're chilling in their little place, their island paradise. And, Eddie is like, I'm trying to remember. It doesn't matter how the conversation goes. They're chilling, and then Carnage mentions that... Not Carnage, goddammit. Venom mentions that he's a part of a multiversal hive, and that Eddie has no idea, like, what kind of shit that he can do. And Eddie's like, oh, really? Like, you know, what can you do? And he's like, hold on your seatbelt. And then suddenly the room completely changes, and they're in a completely new place. And then on TV is Tom Holland as Spider-Man, who has just been revealed to the world to be Spider-Man. And J. Jonah Jameson, played by what's-his-face, J.K. Simmons, is on TV. And he's talking about how Spider-Man's a menace and blah, blah, blah.
I love when he says Spider-Man's a menace.
Eddie's all confused, and he's like, where are we? Like, what's going on? And, you know, did you do this? And Venom says, no, I didn't, which I'm confused by, because it's like he just said he was going to, and then he's like, no, I didn't do this. And it's like, but what? And then Venom comes out, and he goes to the screen, and he licks the screen, and he says, I hate that guy, about Spider-Man. And then some asshole barges into the room and asks Eddie what he's doing, what's he doing in his room, and Eddie just shrugs, and that's the end of the movie. And that really kind of describes how I feel about the movie. It's just like, shrug, like, I don't know what this movie is doing either.
How does Venom know who Spider-Man is?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I think because he had that little line about, the multiversal hive or whatever, I'm thinking that means that the hive mind can somehow connect to the different parts of the multiverse. But so Venom just that knows. There's
already a Venom in this universe.
Not necessarily, because we know that what's-his-face, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man interacted with a Venom. So it could just be that... Okay. It could just be that Venom is aware that Spider-Man as a concept exists in the multiverse. Sure. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I was kind of hoping you were going to have an anti-Venom situation here.
That would be kind of cool, but that's not what happened. And the whole movie is dumb as fuck. But it is pretty entertaining. It is occasionally very funny for all of the wrong reasons. I would say that, like, if I were to rate it by, like, ironic enjoyment, I'd probably give it, like, a 7. If I were to rate it based on, like, whether or not I actually think it's a good movie, I'd give it, like, a 3.5.
Yikes.
So that's good. That's good. But, hey, at least it connected to the MCU. And I'm, like, weirdly excited to see this pathetic, sad sack Eddie Brock interacting with optimistic teenage Tom Holland Spider-Man. I don't know, that just sounds like a really funny interaction to just have this, like, you know, 30-year-old loser trying to, like, pal around with this fucking dork of a Spider-Man. Like, I'm kind of invested in the future of this, but fuck, was this movie not very good.
Well, they gave it their best shot, I guess.
They gave it their best shot, and it was better than the first one, which, again, is not saying much at all, but at least I was more invested in the results of this movie than I was in the results of the first one. The first one could have ended with everybody dying, and I would have been like, oh, okay.
Tragedy striking at all. In 10, 9.
Yeah, no... in my humble opinion, Venom Let There Be Carnage is just dumb as hell, but kind of entertaining if you like bad movies, which I do. So
fantastic.
That's it for me.
Alrighty, Steve's turn. Yes. So today we are discussing the fourth in the line of Avatar comic books, because this one has finally arrived. It's called Smoke and Shadow. But before we get into that, Adam, we're going to spin the wheel of Avatar comic plots.
Okay.
Well, what's it going to be, Adam? What do you think it's going to land on? You think it's going to be, I have to take a neutral stance as an Avatar, always a favorite. Oh, well, there it goes. That could have been, oh, look at that. It's fucking Aang is having a culture clash of the past and the present. It landed everybody's favorite. Zuko is a bad Fire Lord. All right.
Okay.
Our story begins. Do you remember Mai?
Was that Zuko's girlfriend?
Yes. Yes. Ex-girlfriend, okay. If you recall from the last story, I know you don't.
I do actually vaguely remember.
They broke up
that.
Because their relationship is poisonous and they shouldn't be together.
Sure.
But anyway.
I mean, that's fair.
So, her dad has started something called the new Ozai group or something. I don't know. They're trying to get Ozai back as Fire Lord because they think that Zuko is a weak Fire Lord. Because they don't like how he's handling anything. You know how, like, the Fire Nation colonies are all fucked up now because he keeps trying to just give things back and he's not really taking into consideration the long-standing 100 years civilization that has now been sitting there. You know? It's getting a little mussy.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, we were doing awesome while the Fire Lord was... while Ozai was Fire Lord, and now that Zuko's here trying to appease the Avatar and suck his dick, we're not getting anything anymore. It just sucks to be a Fire Nation person now. And, you know, that's fair. Zuko is not good at his job. And just in general, it was better when they were, you know, a tyrannical dictatorship. It's really cool to be in the dictatorship.
Yeah, like, if you're in power, it's like,
it's awesome to be in charge. Sure. They don't appreciate that. But some spooky ghosts came to him in the night and said, hey, make sure you fucking dethrone Fire Lord Zuko, or we're gonna fuck your day up sideways. And he was like, okay, yep, I'm gonna do that, because I don't want my day fucked up by ghosts. So he starts this little club and, you know, sets about trying to get a coup going to overthrow Fire Lord Zuko. Now, Zuko has just come back from retrieving his mother. I don't know if you recall that from the previous one.
He went to go see his mom, but she had, like, forgotten everything.
Yes, well, this is post that, when it's all fixed and she remembers again. So
yeah, okay.
All so right. her new husband and her new daughter are all coming back to the Fire Nation with him. And he gets a messenger eagle from... Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself here. So Mai is now dating one of the members of the Resistance here. Or not the Resistance, the Overthrow Zuko group.
Yeah, okay.
She considers him to be an absolute boob, but she is just, you know, manipulating his small boyish feelings for personal gain so she can find out who's trying to overthrow the Fire Lord. Then it turns out that all those guys are trying to attack Zuko as soon as he and his mom get back. They're going to, like, just jump him in broad daylight because that's their genius plan. So she sends a fucking... messenger hawk or whatever, and Zuko's like, oh, that's no good. I'm gonna call the Kyoshi warriors. So he calls the Kyoshi warriors, and he's gonna send a fake convoy to land on the mainland, and him and the Kyoshi warriors and Avatar and the gang and his mom and his new daughter, or in her new daughter, his new sister, are all going to land in a side dock and sneak into the palace that way so as to not be jumped. Now they execute that plan. Now, it turns out that the new boyfriend was suspected of not being faithful to this terrorist organization, so they fed him bad advice, and snitches get stitches. So when he told the Aang gang about the plan, they Uno reversed him and actually showed up at the new location where they were trying to hide in, and didn't send anybody to attack the fake convoy, because, you know, they knew they weren't there.
Yeah, yeah.
So they get jumped, fake out, and they're like, gotcha. Ha-ha, surrender now. And Zuko's like, or what? And they're like, oh, shit, we didn't really think that part through. Get him! So they get him. Turns out that they forgot that Zuko is, you know, a fucking prodigy firebender and really good at what he does. So he kicks all their collective asses, and Mai's dad is there, and he's like, oh, shit, I gotta get the fuck out of here. So he does, and then Mai catches him, and he's like, you don't understand, that stupid ex-boyfriend of yours is fucking our whole country up, you gotta, like, help me take him out, and she's like, I'm gonna let you go, and then she lets him go, and Zuko did not see him there, so he doesn't actually know that the dad is part of the group, but everybody's pretty mad that Zuko was attacked, and they're like, hey, that's no good, I'm pretty upset that my country's trying to kill me, I thought I was doing a great job, he's not doing a great job. So it gets everybody home. Mom has a mental breakdown because she's like, okay, I can do this. I can go back into this palace. I don't have to see Ozai anymore. He's not here. And then she sees a big picture of him on a wall and has an immediate breakdown.
Oh, no.
Understandable. I don't know why there's still pictures totally of him, to be honest. I feel like all those would have come down, but, you know, whatever. I maybe they're painted probably on the actual wall. I don't know. But that's no good.
Just put a tarp over it. It's fine.
Sure. So so Zuko is like, hey, Mai, I'm sorry we broke up. And she's like, yeah, I'm with this new guy now. Because that new guy proved himself there because he, like, you know, joined the Aang gang to fight the terrorists. Because he's like, I didn't really want to be part of this thing, but, you know, I'm an orphan and homeless and stuff, so I needed to do something. So they're cool, but now he's on the good guy. He's on Team Good Guy, and Zuko is a jealous, petty bitch, but he takes it better than he usually does and didn't immediately attack that guy. So, personal growth, I guess. Everybody except for Aang goes home, so Aang hangs out and helps Zuko with this. So it's just Aang, Zuko, Mai, and the Kyoshi Warriors this time. The evil ghosts come back to Mai's dad, and it's like, yo, I told you to get rid of him. And he's like, well, we gave it our best shot. It didn't work. And they're like, okay, well, that's not good enough. So plan B. It's going to get serious now. They gave him 1 month to unfuck it. Do you remember Tom Tom? Oh. Mai's little brother? The baby that got kidnapped in the show?
I do not remember that at all.
Well, it happened. No. Guess what? He got kidnapped again.
Oh, good.
So the evil spooky ghosts break into that guy's house and steal his child. And then Mai gets all mad about that.
Damn.
And then he goes to the Fire Lord, goes to Zuko and says, hey, somebody stole my daughter. And he's like, yeah, that sucks. Well, we'll find her. And it's like, that's not good enough. Like, get my kid back. And he's like, no. Don't worry. We got this. And then he does nothing about it. And then that angry guy goes to one of the guards and says, hey, do you have a kid? Cool, because what if your kid got stolen? Wouldn't that suck ass? Like, my kid got stolen, and the Fire Lord's not helping me, so you should help me. And the guard's like, you know what? Nah, I believe in the Fire Lord. And then the evil spirits steal that guy's kid. And it's like, sorry. I doubted you. We need to do something, and the Fire Lord's not going to help us, so let's get a riot, or let's get a protest going or something. It's like, okay, we're going to get a posse together, and we're going to start defending our children. And then, like, 13 other kids get stolen. And then Zuko shows up, and he's like, hey, I heard some kids got stolen. During this time, Zuko was not in the temple or whatever, because he was busy studying with Aang to find out what these ghosts are. They did actually find them. They were, like, vengeance spirits from, like, the really early Fire Nation days. And then Aang talks to one, you know, spirit avatar style, and they're like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. That wasn't us. We have never come back since we did our thing. And they're like, huh, that's suspicious. So after the 13 babies are stolen... But young children, whatever. 13 young children are stolen. That guard guy's like, hey, you didn't help when we needed you, so I had to get these people together to do something about it. And then those people managed to repel one of these evil ghosts and save a child. And he's like, see, look, our posse did it, and the Fire Lord didn't do it. He didn't save this child, but we did. So our Fire Lord is weak.
Okay, so this is...
Yeah.
It's a fake out.
Exactly.
It's not real.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, our Fire Lord sucks, and everybody's like, boo, Zuko, boo. And then they go back to the palace there, and he's like, okay, we're going to institute a curfew, make sure we keep everybody locked up, nobody gets in or out of the city anymore, we're going to get all these kids back, and just arrest everybody who was part of that group of people that saved that kid. And Aang's like, Zuko, that is the opposite of what you should be doing. That's a terrible idea. Are you some kind of brain-dead idiot? And Zuko's like, hey, get the fuck out of here. So, continues to make bad decisions. Then, of course, the soldier...
As Zuko does.
And the soldier guys go and round up all those people who saved that kid, and everybody logically goes, hey, how come the Fire Lord is arresting the people that saved a child from evil spirits? And it's like, that doesn't look good after all.
No, yeah, that's a bad, optics. Bad optics.
Yep, bad optics,
Zuko.
Indeed. Then the evil spirits come for Zuko's new sister, the little child, and they snatch her up. Oh. And then they chase after the ghosts, and then Aang kicks one. He's like, oh, I felt a person under there. They're not ghosts. It's just people. And then one of them shoots lightning at them.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
And he was like,
I know where this is going.
And he was like, whoa! And then they escape into a smoke cloud. And then they track them down, And actually, before we smash cut over to Mai's dad walking into a basement full of children. And he's like, oh, don't worry, kids. We're going to get you out of here soon. It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be cool. And then he goes into the next room, and Azula is there. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, it's not obvious or anything. So Azula has put together a band of people, four other criminals from that prison she was in at the time that she busted out, and they have put on these little disguises to pretend to be these vengeance spirits, snatching up children and stuff. And her and the Mai's dad, I don't know, he's like a governor or something, I don't know, that guy, his plan is that he wants to do this for the Fire Nation because he wants to, you know, put Ozai back on the throne and do everything he can. And she's like, what do you want to do for the Fire Nation? He's like, well, I already emptied all my bank accounts for you. I have kidnapped my own children for you and lied to my other children about it. So I'm pretty much ride or die at this point. I'm going to do whatever. I'll do whatever it takes to get Ozai back on the throne. And then after he leaves, she's like, oh, silly idiot. Ozai was never even part of this. And then later when he comes back, it's like, hey, so we can let the kids out now, right? Because, like, everybody's turned against Zuko. It's only a matter of time. And it's like, oh, yeah, good idea. Oh, wait a minute. If we let any of the kids go, they'll immediately rat us out. I guess we'll have to keep these kids here forever. I'm glad you agree, don't you? And he's like, uh-oh, I backed the wrong horse. Because, you know, it's Azula, obviously. You know, she's evil.
Yeah. She's evil. Yeah, she's crazy with a K. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So long story short, they figure it out. They find the secret passage that Azula's been using to hide the children. They head on down there to fight Azula and go rescue those kids. Turns out, though, that Mai's dad had a change of heart and he broke the kids out himself and is escaping right before Azula shows up and wrecks his shit. Then Zuko and Azula fight each other, and Azula has gotten way stronger, so she's, again, better than Zuko. She knocks him in the dirt, and he's like, you know, killing me is not going to make you Fire Lord. And she's like, oh, I know. I don't want to be Fire Lord. That's not what this is about. See, I figured it out. I figured out what my problem was. I was stuck trying to be what my dad wanted me to be, and that's why I was going crazy. But as soon as I figured out what I was supposed to be, all the voices in my head stopped. And he's like, oh, well, that's great, Azula. And he's like, and she's like, yeah, I'm supposed to turn you into me. And he's like, what? Like,
oh
yeah, it's like, yeah, every time you make a shitty decision, every time you do something wrong as Fire Lord, you act out and immediately go back to your instincts, which is to do bad, and all I have to do is just slowly push you towards making bad decisions until you inevitably crack. So that's my game plan. I'm just gonna be there all the time to ruin your entire life and make sure you become the worst Fire Lord ever until you turn into your father.
That works. I mean, sort of.
That is her game plan.
The twisted logic is sound.
Yep. Yeah. Needless to say, she escapes. Everybody gets their kids back, and then the Fire Lord Zuko's like, "Hey, everybody, I overreacted. I did a bad. Sorry about that." He does arrest Mai's dad, but you know, they all kind of agreed that was okay because even he's like, "Yeah, I fucked up, dude. I shouldn't have trusted Azula." What was I thinking?
Yeah.
You know, but everything makes sense in hindsight. Anywho, he's like, oh, sorry, everybody. I did literally everything wrong. Sorry about that. I'll do better in the future. And then we see Azula up there like Batman, like, yep, I've got him now. And then she just kind of disappears into the night. And then we see, without dialogue, Mai talking to her new boyfriend, but that dude's ass is grass because he's not a main character, so we'll never see his ass again, because then he walks away while she cries, and then we never see his face. It does that anime thing where it, like, doesn't show his eyes, but his hair's over him, you know? And it's like, hey, oh, yeah, when will we ever see you again? He's like, I don't know, maybe never, and then he's gone, you know, because she's still into Zuko, which I don't understand, because they're just the worst together.
I mean, but it's Zuko. How could you not love Zuko?
I love Zuko, but I wouldn't want to be his Fire Queen.
Okay, I mean, fine.
It's just amazing that this guy has made it all the way to Korra to be an old man, because I can't believe he hasn't been overthrown or murdered yet. He's so bad at this.
Yeah. He'll learn.
Like,
I
understand that it's going to be a little bit of a rocky start to be Fire Lord post-war, post-Nazis, but, like,
Yeah.
You know, exactly. I'd think by now he'd be beginning. This is like 4 or 5 years later after this war here. So it's like, how much more time do you need to get into the swing of this? You know? Oh, also the mom goes and visits Ozai in prison. And he's like, bitch, I will slap the shit out of you. You better come over here and start bowing before me. And she's like, wow, you look so small and pathetic. Bye. And he's like, no, no, worship me, no. And that was it. So, yeah, Zuko's mom and new sister and new father-in-law, I guess, all live happily in the Fire Palace with him. Azula is back on the run. Presumably Zuko and Mai will get back together. Nothing changed for the Aang gang really at all, because none of them were even here, mostly, except for Aang.
Yeah, they were just kind of around.
I mean, Aang was pretty instrumental in talking to spirits, but this wasn't really his story. And,
He was...
fucking, Ty Lee was also there, not really doing anything. And Suki was there, offering moral support, but other than that, not really doing anything. And this episode didn't have Toph in it, so it loses points for that right away.
I mean, yeah, that is disappointing. What is she doing? Is she just, like, off
teaching? I imagine she's back home at her earthbending school.
Nah.
I feel like we're going to see less and less of Toph as we go on here, because she has, like, a permanent thing that she does, whereas, you know, Aang and Katara and Sokka just kind of drift, you know?
Yeah.
Because...
Poor Sokka.
Yeah.
He doesn't have anything to do.
Well...
He never is anything.
Yeah, well, his fucking Suki was in this episode. He didn't even get to see her. She didn't even know she was there.
Oh, shit.
Well, because in the very beginning, him and Katara have to go back to the Water Tribe to, like, help rebuild, you know? Because it's been a while since anybody's been back there. So they want to go start the reconstruction of the Northern Water, or the Southern Water Tribe, whatever one they're from. You know, so it's not, like, a shitty pile of snow and some igloos. They want to make it, like, a city again. So they're going to go help with that. But Aang's like, I'll stick around here and help my pal Zuko out. Which... good for him, I guess. Avatar.
Yeah.
So that's that. Yeah. That's that one. It was pretty all right.
Okay.
It's pretty all right. Not my least favorite. Not my favorite.
It sounds at least interesting. And it's always nice to have more Azula content, like, ever.
True.
Azula's great. She's the best villain in the whole, like, franchise, if you ask me.
That is 100% accurate, yeah. Azula's pretty dope. Also, Iroh was there. He was doing his tea shop thing.
Aww. God, I love Iroh. Mm-hmm. I gotta watch Avatar again. That's what I gotta do.
Oh, they enlisted his help for the fake envoy. He was pretending to be Zuko. He was mastering his angsty wave, I think they called it, where he has to just do the royal wave dismissively to pretend to be Zuko, so people think that he's him. And he puts on his scowly face, and that's all he contributes to the story. Because
but that's a major contribution.
It's true.
That's
hilarious. True. And he jumps out of the thing. Is like, the Dragon of the West is ready for action, and then everybody's already dead. And he's like, oh, well, okay, never mind.
I'll go brew some tea.
And that's the last we see of him. He's going and brewing tea.
Yeah, okay.
But somebody had to.
All
right.
Well, you have anything else to say about it?
Nope. I'm looking forward to the next one, I guess, in however many months it takes to get that one.
Yeah. Who the fuck knows with everything that's happening. All right, well, those are the complaints this week. If you can't complain, share it with your friends. Bye!